praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. It is easy to read the Gospels in the Bible, such as Matthew's Gospel, and be fascinated by the wonderful stories and the accounts of the many great miracles done by the Lord Jesus. But throughout this Gospel, the Lord Jesus repeatedly spoke to his disciples of how he would go to Jerusalem and suffer the humiliating death on the cross to be raised on the third day. But despite his repeating of this most critical aspect of the Gospel, his disciples were fully occupied with other things, like who among them would have the highest position in the coming kingdom. Francis Ball has joined us again today as we delve once more into the gospel of the kingdom, the book of Matthew. And once again, Francis, we're going to see that the disciples were very much like us in their natural view and concept, weren't they?
It seems so. I know that coming this far in this gospel, you would think that we had adequate speaking. But in this, we find out the Lord has something more by tracing our spiritual condition and our spiritual history. So I'm looking forward to this to see what else he's going to say now.
Yeah, the feeling that I've been having through these programs is each of these chapters, each of these stories, it's like the Lord is just holding up a mirror before us to see ourselves. You know, it's easy to point at the disciples or Peter and see all of the flies and specks in their ointment, but really this is a picture of ourselves.
That's right. I believe this is a real picture of our natural concept and our natural way of understanding what the Lord is saying in this gospel.
Well, in this gospel, the Lord has gone into much detail with these stories and events, and they have revealed very fully by now the kingdom of the heavens and the coming period of reward that awaits the faithful ones. But now, after this kind of development, we have another case of the Lord Jesus once again revealing his coming crucifixion and resurrection. Despite their dullness in hearing this word, the Lord was very determined to keep bringing this matter to the disciples, wasn't he?
Mercifully and full of grace, he was. He was willing to continue repeating, to get this point across. We may think that we need no further word concerning his revelation by the time we get to chapter 20, but the Lord knows our need.
Francis, let's look at this portion in Matthew 20 today as a backdrop for Witness Lee speaking. And I'm going to start at verse 17 here and read just a couple. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately. And on the way, he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised." And please, listeners, as we get into this, keep in mind, this is now the third time he has revealed this same event to his followers. Let's join Witness Lee.
It is strange, apparently, to see that after the definition of the reward of the kingdom, the Lord, the third time, unveiled his crucifixion and resurrection to the disciples. Apparently, to me, there's no meaning here. What does it mean? Right after the definition of the reward of the kingdom, the Lord revealed the third time his crucifixion and resurrection. But I tell you, spiritually speaking, in the depth of the book, there is a very significant continuation. That is, we all have to realize for the reward of the kingdom, we must have the experience of the cross and the resurrection. Even we got to know everything concerning the kingdom, we still need the vision, the proper apprehension of the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection.
Francis, as we've mentioned twice before in the previous chapters, when speaking to a crowd, the Lord Jesus revealed that he must go to Jerusalem, be crucified, and ultimately resurrected. But now here in this chapter, chapter 20, he once again makes the declaration, but this time to the disciples privately in a more intimate setting. What was he saying to them, Francis, by this deliberate re-speaking of what he was about to go through?
It's quite amazing to me, Chris, that three times he refers to this in a very definite and even a detailed way. Of course, this time that we're seeing today is even in more detail than before.
Mm-hmm.
But he's already mentioned this twice. When he took them up to Caesarea Philippi in chapter 16, and even at that time, Peter acknowledged that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
That was marvelous. And the Lord responded to that. And he said, I say also to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock of his revelation, I will build my church, and so on. And then he told them that he had to go to the cross. He'd go to Jerusalem and he'd be rejected and be crucified. He would die. It seems that they heard, but they didn't hear. I know it reminds me of many times I've gone back to read some of these messages, even the ones that we're hearing now, and realize that I was there, but I never really heard it. And I think many, many Christians are in this condition. And I can't exempt myself at all from this, but how much we need the Lord's repetitive word. He knows where we are. He knows what we need. And he's trying to tell us here that there's no way for us to get in to the kingdom that he's opened up to us in its reality and in its qualifications and everything. There's no way for us to get there without the experience of the Lord as life and to know him in the crucifixion and resurrection that he experienced. Apart from that, we have no way to receive and enjoy the reward of the kingdom. And I'm afraid many, many Christians are just dreaming. They're kind of like in a daze. They hear this, and they believe it, but they don't see it.
Right.
And I feel like these programs that we're hearing from Brother Lee's ministry these days is so crucial for us to realize we're not where we think we are if we're not experiencing the cross and the resurrection in our daily living.
Francis, I want to echo your word. All the consideration, all the talk, all the interest right now, of course, in the end times and the Lord's return, and these thoughts are occupying many of our dear brothers and sisters, fellow believers in Christ. But how much is this thought, which is so critical to all of those events, how much is this occupying our thought and our heart and our prayer and our pursuing of the Lord Jesus? This is a very timely word, isn't it?
It very surely is, because to know these things doesn't mean that you are in them. And to know all this truth about the kingdom may give you a thought that you're headed for it or you're in it. But the Lord had to repeat this to people that knew him and knew who he was, and followed him, and were devoted to him, but they still didn't see.
Well, let's go on, Francis, because what comes next in chapter 20 is another very graphic window, I would say, into the condition in the heart of his followers, and probably into our hearts as well. In verse 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, worshiping and asking something of him. And he said to her, what do you want? She said to him, say that these two sons of mine will sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup which I am about to drink? They said to him, We are able. He said to them, My cup you shall indeed drink, but to sit on my right hand and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. A very, very telling encounter here between the Lord Jesus and the mother of two of his close disciples. Let's join Witness Lee once again.
I tell Matthew is a good writer. Suppose she's a painter, I tell you, surely she could give us some good paintings. She painted the picture very meaningful. What happened? Right after the third unveiling of the Lord's death and resurrection, the mother of two among the 12 came to ask one thing. What one thing? They didn't hear the unveiling of the crucifixion and resurrection. In their mind was only the throne. Lord, will you get on the throne? We all know you have two sides. And it's so good, I have two sons. Many times we are just like this. We heard the first time, the second time, the third time, still we didn't hear. What was there in the mother with the two sons? Ambition for position. We have to see what kind of spirit the Lord Jesus held on when he spoke about this. He said, no need to say, I cannot tell you who will be on my right, who will be on my left. Even I don't know. What can humble spirit this? Only my Father knows. You can see even the Lord speaking here was in a very humble situation. He didn't assume anything. He didn't assume to tell anything. No, he gave every place to the Father. We all must learn this. We need to give everything to the Lord.
Well, Brother Francis, the Bible is really wonderful. Of course, as the eternal God, the Lord Jesus could probably well have answered their question directly about who will be on his right and who will be on his left in the kingdom. But instead, he chose to reply in a way that gave the full place to the Father. This was marvelous, the way that he handled this obvious situation about ambition now popping out of his disciples, wasn't it?
My marvelous. Oh, it is really wonderful that the Lord has a way of speaking things and doing things that fully expose where we are and what our view is. Here, he had just talked about so many words that really should have touched their hearts and really should touch our hearts.
Right.
He said, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. He's going to be condemned to death. He's going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked by them. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be crucified. And they're talking about, can I sit on the right hand or the left hand? This is absurd. But actually, it's not absurd in our own experience. We have to admit, this kind of thought is natural and it's in us. It seems like we have the ability to see that there is a glorious kingdom coming and the reigning of Christ will be wonderful. Come, Lord Jesus, set up your kingdom just as long as I can be on the right or the left hand. But this is not God's view. And this is really exposed by his own, divine humility of submitting everything to the Father's wisdom. You said that. You know, certainly he could have answered that question because he is God and he knows everything, but he doesn't do things even in any way independent of the Father. So this is what the Father knows and this is what he submitted to him for. So I feel like the Lord is just too marvelous in the way he can do just the opposite of what we think and it meets our need. When we try to be humble, he exposes us by being so proud, in quotes. But when we're proud and ambitious, he's so humble. No quotes. He is really marvelous, a marvelous one that could really speak in such a way to reveal himself to us and to help us realize the way of the cross and the experience of the cross and the resurrection is the only way we will enter into the kingdom.
Francis, to hear these things unveiled in this way that we are so privileged to be able to do day after day in this ministry, of course, I realize in that portion we just listened to, there was some poor quality tape at the beginning, and it cleared up there before we were through. And in one sense, of course, we would rather not present those old recordings unless they are in their perfect, pristine condition, and we do everything we can to get them there. But I have to relay a phone call that we got. Of course, now we're broadcasting in England on marvelous Christian Broadcasting Company, their Premier Radio in London. And one of the calls came through to us in the United States from a listener who's just discovered this program. And her words were, you know, I struggled a little bit the first couple of times with his accent. But she said, today, as I listen, everything he says is just revelation. He's just speaking revelation. I can't miss this. I can't miss this. I think it's those kind of calls that encourage us to keep going the way we're going, even though we do know from time to time the quality of these old tapes is not what we wish we had, but we still believe that it's worth the price that it takes to get this genuine revelation that we really believe is coming out of this ministry.
That's right. We have experienced this, and we know that it's very valuable to receive this word as best you can.
Well, Francis, let's go on and see how this marvelous chapter concludes. As they were going out from Jericho, a great crowd followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." And the crowd rebuked them so that they would be silent, but they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." And Jesus, standing still, called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus, moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
I tell you, to be healed in blindness is for the kingdom. No one who are still blind is on their way to the kingdom. James and John. Apparently, they were there on their way. Actually, they were not on the way. They were on the wayside because they were blind. Their eyes were not open yet. They didn't see the way of the cross. They didn't see it. They were not on the way. I believe this was the indication. So three things are there. The unveiling of the cross and resurrection. And then the poor reaction. Hunting for possession, the ugly ambition for possession, and then what? Blindness. As long as we are ambitious, we are blind. We need the healing. Then we could see the cross. You see the proper resurrection. Then you are on the way.
Well, Francis, this is so meaningful. Three times the Lord spoke to the disciples about the cross, and yet what they were concerned with was who among them would have the highest position in the kingdom. Seeing it all in this light, it's pretty clear here who the real blind ones are, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, it's quite interesting that these two, with their mother, came to the Lord and requested that one sit on one hand and the other on the other hand. But it was the other disciples that were indignant. It doesn't mean that they were innocent,
yeah.
But they were, of course, blaming the ambitious ones that were obviously ambitious. But the fact that they were so indignant shows that they too were ambitious. And the whole thing indicates that to know so many things and even to walk with the Lord for such a long time does not necessarily give you the full vision. It needs the Lord's further speaking. And I believe many of us need to realize that what we know about the Christian life still is quite shallow. We need to follow him on and listen to his word again and again. The fact that this incident of the healing of these two blind men follows the record of the mother of James and John indicates that James and John were blind. Here you have two ambitious sons and two blind men. Do you think it was an accident that in the book of Matthew, under the inspiration of the Spirit, that he wrote this in this way? No, this is very meaningful. And now we're beginning to see that the Lord's purpose is not only to open to us the kingdom, but he also has gone into great detail to open to us the way into the kingdom. We'll never be able to get into the kingdom and its reality and its manifestation without first experiencing the cross and the resurrection. This is the way we will experience the kingdom, and there's not a shortcut. No matter how much a person would dream and think, well, I'm saved, I'm okay, when the Lord comes, I'll just be gone and everything is fine. That is not the case according to the Bible, and he's always trying to reveal to us the way is the cross and resurrection. I hope that many of us today could see how marvelous this continuation of this account has been opened up to us so that we could realize that it's just not a matter of the throne, but there's a definite way to get to the throne.
I was thinking, Francis, we've been on this general line now most of the way through the Gospel of Matthew. It's such an overwhelming theme in this Gospel that on the one hand it would be easy to say, boy, those guys are just a broken record. They keep saying the same thing over and over. But I feel a little relieved today. There's a good precedent for this repetition, isn't there, as we've seen in our message today?
Yes, that's right. That's one thing that characterized Brother Lee's ministry was repetition, and we need it.
Well, let us close today by recommending the printed material that we have to supplement these broadcasts. The printed life study of the Gospel of Matthew is available in a 6-volume set, and it's a very convenient and handy form to get into this material. Many of our callers and listeners have been enjoying these printed volumes, and we would recommend them to you. We also have additional material, some books published by Living Stream on this topic, or the general topic of the kingdom as it's presented in Matthew, and much other material, of course. So let me just give you our toll-free number as we wrap up today and invite you to call us. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send your email to us to radio@lsm.org. And while you're on the World Wide Web sending email, be sure and check out our Living Stream Ministry website. That's located at www.lsm.org. And it's a marvelous website. I hope you'll visit it very soon. It's recently been updated. And we speak often on this program of various publications and resources that are available from Living Stream. At the website, you can actually preview a number of those, including, of course, the recovery version of the Bible, which we quote from often, and also information about how to order. So once again, the Living Stream website located at www.lsm.org, and I hope you'll visit it soon. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.